Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
This is a Fox News Alert. I'm Brett Baer in Washington.
It's always a Fox News Alert. 720 WGN. Pete McMurray on the phone with us from Fox News Channel, our old friend Brett Baer. It's a Fox News Alert, Brett. How are you? What's going on?
I'm good. We're drying out from this storm coverage, and obviously the storm in Washington continues every day.
Well, before we get to Irma, let me ask you, where were you 16 years ago today? Where were you on 9/11?
16 years ago today, I was the Southeast correspondent for Fox, based out of Atlanta. And in the morning when the first plane hit, I was called to New York to back up coverage in New York. And then the second plane hit, and they said, you need to drive. And then the third plane hit, and they rerouted a producer and me to the Pentagon. And so we drove to the Pentagon. I started that night doing live reports for Fox affiliates around the country. And I never left. I never went back to Atlanta. I, 3 weeks later, became the national security correspondent covering the Pentagon and the intel community. And that was my start in Washington, D.C.
Jeez, man. Thrust into it. Now, how long were you on the air that day?
Nonstop. You know, once we got there, the burning Pentagon was still behind us. And I was doing every 5 minutes for Fox affiliates around the country.
God, just crazy. All right, let's talk about Irma now. There was some footage that I saw over the weekend. The winds took the waters out of the bay in Tampa Bay, and the boats were sitting on the dirt, and people were actually walking out and taking selfies while the water was out. I just don't understand people.
I know.
I don't get it.
I know.
Because
you
that water could come back at any time, that surge.
I know. And, you know, all the warnings out there, just be careful. Don't fool around with it. But I used to cover these things, 17 tropical storms and hurricanes bouncing around the Southeast and South and Central America. And, you know, there's always people out there. There's always surfers. There's always people that don't heed the warnings. And especially when you're dealing with rushing water like that, it could come back quick. Now, fortunately, a lot of the surge didn't materialize as high as they thought it was going to be. We have a place in Naples, and it sustained little damage, wind damage, but not much.
My brother-in-law has a place in Venice, Florida, and someone was staying there for the last 4 months, and that person never left. She's like, no, I'll be fine. There's some people that in their mind, it's like, oh, it's just a storm. It'll pass. And that's when people die.
Some of those people, you know, are having to be rescued. You know, in the Keys, some people stayed down there, which it was ground zero. Mm-hmm. And now they've got to get helicopters and military folks in there to get some of those folks out.
When they evacuate people and then the news comes in, where are the news people going? And are they safe? I mean, when you were covering it, were you ever nervous?
Yeah, there were a couple times when I was nervous, like the big, big storms. But having been through it a lot, the news people, for the most part, know where to hunker down, you know, the different structures, what's safe and what's not. When you see guys blowing around in the wind, you know, the crew and the camera is protected behind, you know, some structure in a vehicle, in a garage. And while it looks stupid, there is a method to the madness.
There really is. And I've seen some stories popping up today. You know, we heard about the weather and the winds and the surges over the weekend. The stories about looting are starting this morning. I saw a few come up online. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, there's a few, and hopefully that's not extensive. I mean, what we saw at Harvey was, you know, how people were coming together, and I bet you we'll see that at Florida, but there's always a few of those looting stories. The sheriff's deputies and the authorities had their hands full trying to deal with saving people, let alone busting criminals.
So what's going to happen with President Trump? He made a deal with the Democrats on hurricane spending and the debt limit. Are we going to see more deals on issues maybe like DACA?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll come back to that well, because he got a lot of positive coverage dealing with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, much to the chagrin of some Republicans who were kind of scratching their heads saying, wait a second, what's going on here? But I do think that there'll be more of that. The question is whether, you know, he is able to get his campaign promises across the finish line working with Democrats, because they're on some issues pretty far apart.
There was a picture that was circulating on social media over the weekend where it was the president had his hand on Schumer's shoulder, and Schumer, it looked like he was speaking loudly to the president, and it was taken through a window of the White House.
At the Oval Office, yeah. That's at that meeting. And Nancy Pelosi talked about it afterwards the next day, and she said Chuck Schumer talked New York with Donald Trump. So both native New Yorkers kind of were laying down some New York talk.
What does that mean? Deals. They're just swearing at each other?
I don't know. But there was a lot of embracing, I think.
And what is Trump's relationship now with the GOP leaders?
Sour. I mean, it's not good. The day after Paul Ryan, the House Speaker, went to dinner one-on-one with the president, we don't have a readout of that. But, you know, listen, they both need W's. They both need wins legislatively. Yeah. Republicans, you know, they could lose both chambers if they don't come across the finish line with something.
Don't the Democrats want to draw this out so they can win the midterms in 2018? Why would they make a deal? What's their motivation?
Yeah, so that's really the question. And maybe the president has forced the hand there of, they said they liked working with him. If they're going to continue to say that, they're probably going to have to make a deal that they don't particularly love. And that may force their hand. I do think that a lot of stuff that happens in Washington is based on the electoral calendar. You know, we're always one election away from solving the big things because everybody's concerned about how they're going to portray it back home.
How many presidents have you sat down with?
Four.
Four presidents. Are you going to get a chance to sit down with President Trump?
Yes. I'm told we're in the works of finding a day. I obviously interviewed candidate Trump many times during the campaign, but have yet to interview President Trump, but we're working on today.
Who was your favorite over the years?
Well, listen, I covered the Bush administration. So President Bush, for all his criticism, was privately, when you talk to him off the record, was amazingly eloquent on a whole bunch of issues. Any reporter would tell you that. But then when he got to the podium, he usually had you know, strategery and other problems communicating.
So you're looking forward to try. Do you work out the questions, or do you have a producer? Do you sit down at a round table and say, okay, what are we going to ask Trump? What are we going to do?
Yeah, we kind of murder board it and say, what are the issues we want to cover?
Okay.
But I usually work the questions solo, and then I get my team together and say, what do you guys think?
One of the things with President Trump, once you get him talking, he'll talk forever.
I know. In these interviews, you have to get in between the breath.
Right.
You know, like when he takes a breath in, you go in for the next question.
And what have you heard on Hillary Clinton's new book?
So I don't have it. I haven't read it. But obviously, I saw that interview she did with CBS, and I've seen some write-ups of it. What's interesting to me is to watch the Democrats on the Hill kind of cringe a little bit to be relitigating the 2016 election. And most of them don't seem like they want to do that.
Is it sour grapes for Hillary?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I think she wanted to tell that story. Some of it is, clearly. I mean, when she rips on Vice President Biden and President Obama, they were doing everything that they could, from my vantage point, to try to get her elected.
Well, if the Democrats want to win the midterms, they got to separate themselves from Hillary, right?
At least in some of these states where she did not sell, like Michigan, Wisconsin, some of these states where Bernie Sanders did better, there's probably not a lot of love on those lawmakers to have Hillary Clinton campaigning for them.
God, when you brought up Wisconsin, I remember when Trump won Wisconsin, I turned to my wife, I'm like, oh, my God, he's going to win this election.
I know. Well, we were on the anchor desk, and we were thinking, wow. This is unbelievable. And then when you got to the final, you know, moment and the whiz bang goes off and the graphics, you know, launch in the studio, everybody was just sitting there silent, like, this is surreal. Just, wow, it really happened.
Just crazy. You can check out Brett Baer tonight on Fox News. Brett, great to talk to you, man.
We'll see you, Pete.
Appreciate it. All right, it's 720 WGN.